So welcome to the Road to Cheltenham WAP on the last day of the 2022 festival, Gold Cup Day, and it has been a marvellous day all round, 7 from 7 for Ireland. I reckon the man on my right has had a rather good day, with Willie Mullins taking 5 of them, count them, and being top trainer with 10 winners. This has never been done before, and Rachel Blackmore winning the Gold Cup in fantastic style. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Where do you start? Fox Hunters. where do you want to start? Look, Clue Tar was the Gold Cup. It is the highlight of the whole week, and Clue Tar was brilliant. I mean, Rachel was brave on him, waited, patient, let Manila Indo go, got a gap off the bend and followed him. And the turn of foot he showed was in the right place this year, and she was brilliant.
She said that she'd learned from riding him previously. No doubt here, probably also in the Savills Chase.
I would say Leopardstown as much as here. But that's everything in life. Everybody makes mistakes, but once you're learning from them, you'll be fine. And like, she took a learning from the mistake in Leopardstown and delivered this afternoon on a bigger stage, and that's what you got to do.
You don't normally see Rachel emotional either, and I think the difference was probably her brothers, her sister, her father were here, whereas last year, of course, she was achieving stunning things here, top jockey at the Cheltenham Festival, winning the Champion Hurdle, winning the Grand National to empty stands.
I know, and it is different. I mean, even from Honeysuckle on Tuesday to winning the Gold Cup, I don't know what it is about the Gold Cup, the crowd, even like all around here before the race. It just feels more for the Gold Cup, and the noise is louder for the Gold Cup. And they got an unbelievable reception. I suppose in your favour, it probably helps too. But it also helps, you know, Rachel Blackmore.
Well, you're always telling me when I'm sort of thinking about the Champion Chase or the Stayers Hurdle, you know, nobody wants a Champion Chase. No one wants a Stayers Hurdle winner. They want a Gold Cup winner.
But that's the dream. I mean, you watched it here last night. Did anybody come in here to the sale here last night to buy a Champion Hurdle horse or a Champion Chase horse? No, they might end up with one and they'd be delighted with one. But they walked in to try and buy a Gold Cup horse. That is the dream.
And Henry de Bromhead, just a fantastic week for him. Well, certainly the highs were fantastic, with Honeysuckle winning the Champion Hurdle back-to-back. And again, the 1-2 in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, the different way around, that is some training performance.
That is a huge training performance, and especially with Manila Indo. I mean, to me, like, he's King George Ron. He ran a bit better at Leopardstown. Conflated, didn't exactly frank that form yesterday, but he stepped forward again. And you were thinking off the bend, like, if Rachel doesn't get out soon, or if he doesn't quicken, you know, Manila Indo's gone. But, you know, he did empty a bit from the back of the last, and a Clue Tar ended up winning a long way.
15 lengths, which is the widest margin since Master Oates. He did that on really deep ground. That was something special.
It was. But, look, and we talked about it, there wasn't a massive front runner. Asterion ended up making a run, Asterion for long. Santini was up there. But it wasn't fast. It wasn't a strongly run race.
No.
And like, a Clue Tar was the speed horse. Probably the one that may have been a little disappointing in a speed race was probably Protectorat.
And
I thought he wanted a stamina test. I thought he only won in Leopardstown because of the manoeuvre Rachel made. He needed a stamina test, and I think there was a lot of stairs in there that the race wasn't run to suit.
Yeah, Protectorat, they've got a young horse, they'll be back next year, John Hales' owner was saying. So Galvin, would he have liked a steady race?
No, I don't think so. I thought he would have wanted a stronger gallop.
And Royal Pagai ran really well.
He did run really well. He wants softer ground, but I guess when you saw Royal Pagai turning down the hill on the bridle, you're kind of thinking, they haven't gone that quick.
Yeah. So that was the main event. The other main event of the day was the 5-timer for Willie Mullins, which brought up 10 wins. Now, once he got to 9, he was already the trainer who had done more than any other trainer at the Cheltenham Festival. But Gordon Elliott held the record of 8 before. He's blasted through that with 10. An incredible week for him.
Yeah, incredible week. And, you know, you'd always look back and think, yeah, but he probably got rubbed with a green somewhere along the way as well. But yeah, 10 was amazing. Vauban was very good in the first. Classy individual, probably involved in the race sooner than Paul had anticipated, but again, it wasn't a strongly run race, and you have to adapt and change to the tactics of how a race is playing out. Stateman looked well handicapped, and Julie obliged, and then Billaway and Ellie May, they kind of pulled them out of the fire. They didn't look likely winners that far from home. So, you know, it was a great week all around, and obviously the nice guy in the Albert Bartlett going to the last was going to be Willie Mullins whichever way, but look, that race sadly was marred with Ginto getting hurt, but you know, it was an incredible week for close-up.
Let's go through them individually. Vauban, he can brush up his jumping, but Willie Mullins is talking about a Champion Hurdle. Constitution Hill, Honeysuckle, Vauban, that'll be some Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, it will, but that's the kind of horse that he thinks he could be. I wasn't certain he had the absolute stamina for a Triumph. They went slow and he had the gears. But look, it is ambitious to say four-year-old for a champion hurdle. They don't have a great record in it, but look, we think he's a very good horse.
Rich Ritchie was being more ambitious than that. He was still thinking Melbourne Cup and champion hurdle. You know, you don't want to be greedy, do you?
I'd be surprised if Willie goes down the flat road with him till he's maxed him over jumps.
He's already said that. He's already said that. That was Rich afterwards.
I wasn't even talking, but I just look. William Owen's a creature of habit, and I'd be that's what'll happen.
He was singing Paul Tannen's praises, particularly after State Man. He loved the way that he rode him in that race. He was talking about the confidence with which he rode that.
Yeah, he did. Very confident. I'd have said safe, as much as confident. Never got into any trouble. He was quite wide in them all the way. But look, I suppose for us, for a novice, possibly the easiest handicap to ride them in is the county, with the room on the track, the guaranteed pace, and you can get yourself a bit of space. And we thought we hoped he was a fair horse, and he's really obliged.
Yeah, but it had quite a bit in hand, I reckon.
I'd say he had a bit, yeah.
And Paul as top rider?
Yeah, and the highlight three for Paul was to get up after galloping the champ yesterday and go back out on Alaho, like, with confidence. That was, to me, was the highlight of me looking at Paul Town, and that's not as easy as everybody thinks, and he did it.
I appreciate it's not as easy as everybody thinks. I remember putting it to you in the past. I've put it to Paul Town, and you always respond the same way. That's the job, isn't it? You have to do it.
It is the job, but I can say it or you can write it, but you ask someone that actually goes and does it.
Yes.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that. I think that is hugely underestimated. We should talk about the nice guy, the first Cheltenham Festival winner for Malcolm Denmark since Monseigneur in the year 2000, and it meant so much to him in the Albert Barley. He was crying, he was in with his son Callum, who was at school when Monseigneur was racing, and the significance of that for him was so strong.
It was huge, and look, Sean O'Keefe gave him a lovely ride. Manila Cooner was a little keen in front, but look, he delivered him with a well-timed run and challenge, and waited with Paul Town until he got up to the last for a horse having his second run over hurdles. You know, he kept a bit of company to the last, jumped it, and then he accelerated the win. Like Sean's, he's gotten a few chances this year for Willie Mullins. He won a hilly way on Enogramine. He obviously won here last year, the Martin Pipe and Gallop in the Champ. But a big day for him as well.
Very much so, ridden concertista as well this season. And Willie spoke warmly of him afterwards. He's clearly a man on the rise in the way.
Willie rates him. That'll be a help for Sean.
Then there was Billaway, third time lucky in the Fox Hunters, and Patrick Mullins finally got that Fox Hunters. But he will know how Barry O'Neill is feeling on the runner up.
Oh yeah, I mean, it looked so unlikely for me in here for so long for Billaway, for so far, so much of the race for Billaway. His jumping was only okay, and he looked destined for second, but unfortunately,
at best.
Yeah, unfortunately, the one in front got very tired, and it's a long way from the last here. And you do feel for Barry O'Neill. He's not the first person that has walked back down that chute with thoughts in their head of what I could have, should have, would have done. But look, that's racing, and Billaway got his day in the sun.
He did, and Barry O'Neill yet to have his festival, and it came so close there, gutting for David Christie as well, who was the trainer. And they got softened up a little bit by Mighty Stowaway, didn't they? He finished third, Jamie Codd on board for Gordon Elliott, and carrying Camilla Sharples, the travelling head girls' colours, for the first time
and
as an owner.
Yeah, and look, away from the third last, like it was going to be between the two of them, but when Mighty Stowaway gave up, Winged Leader got left a little bit in his own and got a bit lonely, and it's terrible feeling.
Yeah. So that brought up the nine and set the record for Willie Mullins, but he had to go one better, didn't he? And this time with Ellie May, second in the Mrs. Paddy Power Mare's Chase last year. Mark Walsh had unfinished business.
He did, and it looked like Brian Cooper had finished the business for him off the bend. Brian very cleverly rode Mark into a pocket, closed the door, and Mark quickly switched and got himself out of there. And Ellie May was very brave and rallied from the last. And I'd say the horse coming down Ellie May's outside actually helped her and propelled her past Scarlet and Dove. She's a tough mare.
There's not much of her, but what there is very tigerish.
Yeah, that's a good way. Not much of her. She's tiny.
she's fantastic. A lovely grey. I was really pleased to see her in the winner's enclosure. And then to make it a clean sweep for Ireland, we had Joseph O'Brien, Mark McDonough and Banbridge in the last.
Yeah, in the last. And I didn't think he was that unexposed. He was a good price, but he was fit and he was well. Plenty of fallers, plenty of carnage in the race.
Yes, happily they're all up by horses and jockeys.
Okay, yeah, and Banbridge delivered. Massive day for Mark McDonough, the second winner of the week for Ronnie Bartlett, and Joseph, who'd just been touched off with Scarlet and Dove, got another Cheltenham winner.
Yeah, it ended strongly, Joseph was saying afterwards. What do you think was your favourite moment of the festival?
I don't know. And you're not the first person to ask me. I don't know. I think it's been a great week. I don't think there was too many low points. I think almost everything turned up, with the exception maybe of Shishkin.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got a lot of the clashes we wanted. I don't know. Look, obviously Gallop and Deshaun fell, but that's racing, so I'm not going to consider that a low point. I don't know. I thought it was entertaining from start to finish, and it definitely made you look forward to next year.
Very much so. For me, I mean, Honeysuckle, 15 for 15, that was fantastic. I know it wasn't the result people wanted, but I love the unique moment of Delta Work coming back with Tiger Roll for his swan song in the cross country. I did. I mean, it was just I'll remember that forever. And, you know, Rachel Blackmore winning the Gold Cup. She's now got the champion hurdle, the Grand National and the Gold Cup, and that's going to be so special for her.
It is, and it was great for her. Massive. I just thought it was great all week. I don't think there was no low point, and I think that's good.
Yeah, don't want to choose one. I understand that. Well, thank you very much for watching Road to Cheltenham all this series. We've got many people that we need to thank, haven't we?
We've got time.
we probably haven't, but we should thank Ben Wong. We should thank Will Haler. We should thank
Sarah Gorman,
absolutely.
Bernard
Condren, absolutely.
Yeah.
Danny Mullins. Gary O'Brien.
Yeah.
Angus McNay.
Nick Luck,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
thanks,
everyone else behind the scenes who was responsible for Road to Cheltenham. Thank you for watching the series. We look forward to seeing you next season.